The first reading for the Festival of the Reformation is from Revelation to St. John, chapter 14. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is the gospel lesson just read, John chapter 8, 31 to 36. The sermon title is "Remain in My Word." You may be seated. Today, the Lutheran Church around the world celebrates the 504th anniversary of the posting of the 95 Theses by Martin Luther on the doors of the Castle Church in Wittenberg. Our Concordia Publishing House has many books on the subject, and in 2004 published this book, a picture book for kids, with text written by Dr. Paul Meyer. He was the son of Walter A. Meyer I, the Lutheran Hour speaker. On the front cover here, you can see Martin Luther at the Castle Church door with his hammer in hand down here by my fingers. And if you look closely, you can see the thesis behind his left hand attached to the door of the church like this. Today, the Castle Church looks almost the same as it did then, except these wooden doors that he's posting the thesis on have been replaced by bronze doors with bas-relief images commemorating the Reformation of the Christian Church. And you can still go and visit those places today. What was the meaning of the Reformation 500 years ago? And does it still have any significance for us today? Scholars and historians spin out all sorts of theories about what it means. Many Germans like to see Martin Luther as a national hero, something like a George Washington or Thomas Jefferson play in our country. Washington and Jefferson were founding fathers of our country by intent. Seem to be getting some feedback here today. Does it it's just me, maybe. Washington and Jefferson were founding fathers of our country by intent. Martin Luther was a founding father of the German nation by accident, not by intent. That's not what he was all about. In 1520, Luther was approached by the humanist Ulrich von Hutten to lead Germany into independence from Rome, but Luther declined. Luther intended to fight his battles only with the word of God, not with the sword, and not with the intent, originally, of dividing churches. Luther wanted to return the church to the words of Jesus and his apostles, from which it had departed centuries previous. On the words of Jesus and the apostles, Luther was willing to stake his career, his safety, and yes, even his life. Why did Luther make such a big deal about the words of Jesus and the apostles? He had the Christian church all around him, and that in spades. In the late medieval period, the church was everywhere to be seen. In many places, the church owned half the land and half the buildings in a town. As a member of the clergy, Luther was automatically a member of the prestigious upper class. As a monk, he was part of the inner circle of that class, which had a guaranteed free ticket to heaven. As a university professor, he could appeal for protection directly to the Pope, and the Pope was the most powerful man on earth, and third in heaven only to the Trinity and Mary. Unlike the Lutheran Church, which has only two or three sacraments, the medieval church had seven sacraments. There was a sacrament to cover just about every major event in your life. Worship services were held daily in most towns, featuring Holy Communion. In the monasteries, worship services were held up to 9 times a day. If you were rich, you could hire a priest to say private masses for yourself or a relative to help move a dead person's soul quicker through purgatory. During festivals, the consecrated bread of Holy Communion would be paraded through town, sometimes along with the relics of saints. And in Catholic towns, they still do that in Europe today. The castle church on which Luther posted his 95 theses had one of the most valuable collections of relics in all of Europe, including 19,000 holy bones and a thorn that pierced Jesus' brow. At least that's what they believed. All this religion and all this religion stuff did not matter to Luther as much as the words of Jesus and the apostles. You see, Martin Luther was a professor and a doctor of the Bible, and that was his specific vocation within the church. And for Luther, it was a very special privilege. He received his Doctor of Theology with a major in Bible on October 19, 1512, 5 years before the 95 Theses. From 1513 to 1515, he lectured as a Doctor of Theology on the Psalms. From 1515 to 1516, he lectured on the Book of Romans. While working on the 9th chapter of Romans, he received the brand new Greek New Testament edited by Erasmus. It was the first printed Greek New Testament in history. This allowed him to study the Greek text anywhere and to quote from it directly in class, and eventually his students could get copies. From October 1516, he lectured on the book of Galatians, based on the Greek text, up until the time of the posting of the 95 Theses. I have here a copy of the Greek New Testament that is presently used by pastors, is what it looks like on the inside, theologians and New Testament scholars. Here we have the words of the apostles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, James, Peter, and Jude. And these are the words, the very words, that were written by them 2,000 years ago. The authors of this book were direct eyewitnesses of Jesus' words, his acts, and his miracles. They saw Jesus feed the 5,000, cast out demons, raise the dead, walk on water, die on the cross, raise on Easter morning, and ascend into heaven. They heard the Sermon on the Mount, and it's here. They heard parables, and that's here. The arguments with the Pharisees and his discourses, and it's all here. It's all here in this book, just as it happened, with the very words. This is as close as you and I can get to Jesus and to his words and to what he did. So as Luther was studying the Greek text of Erasmus, it was published in 1516, he was amazed to find that the official translation in the Vulgate was Latin, was wrong, was not translated correctly in many places. Furthermore, as he continued to study the Greek, he found that the definitions given by the theologians for the ideas of the New Testament were wrong, and sometimes obviously so. It'd be something like reciting a famous nursery rhyme in this way. Twinkle, twinkle, little dog, I can't see you in this fog. Now, what's wrong with that poem? Do you ever hear it before? Now, it rhymes. It has the same meter, the same number of syllables as the original. It has a very simple meaning. And you could say, well, we updated it for you people who live in the San Francisco Bay Area because you have fog. But it has a different meaning. And that was the problem. What was being taught and preached in the pulpit, in catechism, in the universities, was different than what was here. And the more that Luther thought about this problem, the more that it upset him. Everything that the church was doing and teaching in his day was based on the theologian's explanation of the Bible, the most famous being that of Thomas Aquinas. And for many of the most important Bible texts, the theologian's explanation was giving the wrong meaning. The church was even torturing people in the Inquisition and putting them to death, thinking that by doing so, they were following the words of Jesus and the apostles. But in fact, the church had, in many areas, departed from the words of Jesus and the apostles. Luther read the words of our gospel today from John 8, quote, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." As Luther studied his Greek New Testament, he saw more and more how the church had not remained in Jesus' words. Its members could not claim to be truly Jesus' disciples, and they did not know the truth, and in fact, they're enslaved to human ideas and to human sinful passions. It was really a horrible discovery, and one that he shared immediately with his colleagues in Wittenberg. And then they started, the university professors and him, and some of the pastors in Wittenberg, started studying the Greek New Testament together. And the more they realized the Christian church had not remained in Jesus' words, and were not truly Jesus' disciples, the more they realized how far away the church had come from its beginning. Many scholars and humanists around Europe, where the Greek New Testament was being published and distributed, who were studying this, were coming to the same conclusions about the errors in the Vulgate and the medieval theologians. Luther came to prominence among all these people because he was concerned about the doctrine of salvation, and because he was willing to confront the church hierarchy to reclaim Jesus' words and teaching about salvation. Luther's Reformation, although it covers a whole lot of areas, is very simple. It is summarized in John 3:16, where Jesus told Nicodemus, "God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish eternally, but have eternal life." Luther told his opponents, in so many words, where in John 3:16 does it talk about doing good works? If God gave up his only Son on the cross, how can you or the priest give him up again in the Mass? Where does it talk about purgatory here in John 3:16 or anywhere else in the New Testament? All it says is, believe in Jesus, that is, have faith in Jesus and his words. Do that, and you will have eternal life in heaven. The gospel of salvation is that simple, and that is straight from the words of Jesus in John 3:16. What was the meaning of the Reformation 500 years ago? And does it still have significance today? The meaning of Luther's Reformation was that you are saved by faith alone, apart from good works, by the grace of God, for the sake of the merits of his Son Jesus. This is the gospel that is of universal and perennial significance, and which will remain on this earth until Jesus returns in glory. In our Savior's name, amen.